When the world is calling, whether it's sunny beaches, global cities, or boardrooms that can't wait, getting there starts here. With over 55 nonstop destinations, a new nonstop to Montreal on Air Canada, and 20 nonstop flights a day to New York City, Columbus makes travel simpler, smarter, and closer than you think. Start your trip at flycolumbus.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another episode of Talk to Me, Sis. I'm so excited. I always am excited, but I'm really excited about today's guest. We would love to welcome Vernon Jackson.
Woo-hoo! Oh, let's go.
Talk to me, sis.
Yes, welcome. Yes. I'm happy to be here.
Thank you for being here. And first of all, thank you for being here hot off an airplane.
Come on now. Hey. Listen, you said talk to me. I like you. Hey, I'm pulling up. I love it.
So Vernon, we found you from my son Jack. Yeah. Found you. Yep. And he came running down the hall and he goes, Mom, you've got to get this guy on your podcast. He's like, check this man out. We watched a bunch of your videos and I was in love with you.
It was so cool. And this was at the very beginning, wasn't it, Lise? I think we only had one or two episodes up and Jack was like, y'all, you have got to find this guy and get him to come on the podcast. So you were one of our very first picks. We're so excited.
Are you serious?
Yes.
For real.
Listen, I'm a light-skinned black guy with a bald head with a beard. I get emotional. Okay?
I love that. I love that. No, I mean, I'm telling you, Jack came down. He's like, this man is awesome and the work he's doing is awesome. And you know, let's get into what it is you do and why we fell in love with you. Do you want to start us off and tell us who is Vernon Jackson?
Yeah. Okay. So, who is Vernon Jackson? That's a question that I really never found the right way to describe or answer it. And I'll say this: Vernon Jackson is first a man who appreciates the relationship between God and himself. I learned how to receive gifts and relate through via that relationship, via allowing myself to experience that I deserve. And so I'm a person who I deserve from a place of gratitude, not entitlement. I am someone who lives as a human being first. So I'm always a human becoming. I get to experience this life from an observer's perspective, from a perspective of being immersed in the experience of life. And so, which also helps me to connect with the kids and their parents in a way that they feel seen even when I'm being stern and challenging them. Mm-hmm. I'm a retired spoken word poet, you know, and writer. I'm a two-time author. I got two books that are that talks about dating and relationships from a man's perspective that isn't hyper masculine, but also being direct to women about the man experience without being so feminine catering that a lot of books have to do in order to sell books. Actually, my first book was a number one new seller on Amazon when it came out.
I did not know this about you. I looked you up. I did my research, but I did not. I missed that one.
Yeah, Matt Pack, what do I want? I'm sorry.
Go, please, go.
I mean, you know, this since we're here,
you
have a beautiful voice for spoken poetry.
Yes, you do.
Well, thank you. I've been practicing. So it's Looking Glass, part two, Looking Deeper, A Man's Guide to Discovering Dating, Self-Love, and Vulnerable Conversations. And so the second subtitle is for the woman who is looking to understand, but the man who is looking to articulate. And because a lot of times men have to, you know, I wrote it from as a guy to say, listen, this is what you're trying to say when it comes to your story, that you, that your feelings matter. And also to give, you know, and I talk about in my book, having a heart story. A lot of times a heart story is as I define it, is your, all the points that define you as a human being, your, that in your heart that has shaped it to who you are. You gotta, you know, a lot of times in dating, women never discover our heart story. We don't know, they don't understand what we've been through to make us admit that they met in that moment. And so therefore they can never help us to kind of like change or adjust, because you don't understand my humanity. And so, so where, you know, it speaks from that side, but, you know, but it's the same thing that both men and women go through in the dating process. But a lot of times people date without knowing who they are first. And so, you know, and so that's why I, that's really what my original passion was. I thought that that was going to be the thing that really took off, that I was going to be a relationship dating guy, you know, motivational speaker. That was what I thought I was going to do. So doing, to bring it back around, to land a plane.
Yeah, right, no, I, first of all, I love this whole, like, I know, this is I what love you it. Thought, I, but there was a bigger plan there, for I love you.
It. Yeah, you know, and so, you know, I tell people that, you know, I'm a reluctant leader, like, you know what I'm saying? And everything that, you know, that I've done before the moment of the gifting event are the things that, that I was trying to tighten my boots and create a life out of my own doing.
Right.
But God gave me the opportunity to do that, and, you know, and to get to a point to say, what do you have for me? Right. And I had the heart to receive that. So all the things I did, from being a poet and writing and being an artist, I used to draw a lot when I was coming up. Like, I was very good at that. And being on stage and modeling and acting, I've been in quite a few commercials, quite a few stage plays. And all those things are helped me to kind of like put all culminate in me being able to show up. Because for so long, I've already practiced being myself. So people who know me, who's seen the development and seen, okay, the fame happened, but I'm no different than I was before the fame occurred, you know? And so that, to me, that's the best part about it, that I am literally, I'm not projecting, I'm not performing, I'm not doing anything that I have to do that requires what I do to become a job, but it does.
It's just being
work.
Seen. You're being you.
Right. Exactly.
Being seen.
Yeah, you know, so everything has worked together to create the Gifted event, which is a haircut program that is designed to, it's a free haircut program for families that, it's free due to the fact I crowdfund, I fundraise. Every now and again, I get a grant, but I really enjoy telling families that the viewers who see your story and see what you got going on, whether they don't know you or not, but they want to invest into the growth of your child. And that you give, and as families, you know, as moms, you know, and families, you give so much of yourself selflessly to create an environment so that your child can feel seen, feel loved, and not be judged. And you have to defend them from the world and even from your own differences of thought a lot of times.
Right.
And so a lot of times the families are so in giving mode that, and so at least with one of the hardest things that as a family they experience, I get to give it to them for free. Right.
So let's just tell people, so the Gifted event, so this is what, you are a writer, poet, you're going on this path, you're modeling, but you're also a barber. How did you, was that to pay the bills? Was that like, okay, this is great, but I got a light bill. I got a car payment. Like, how did you start cutting hair? And then what, and I think you fought it. You kicked and screamed a little bit getting to the Gifted event, if I read right online.
Oh, yeah. I'm very clear about that. Oh, yeah.
I love this story. Yeah.
It's really clear. This is a non-cussing environment. You know what I mean? No F-bombs, but you know what?
Talk. Let's talk to me, sis.
Talk to me, your real self, Vernon. Give it to us.
We can put a language warning up. We're grown-ups.
Okay, great. Well, let me kick back then, okay?
So let's go.
Okay?
We're all kicking back. Let's kick back.
I'm a licensed cosmetologist, but I specialize in hair cutting. People consider me to be a barber because I decided to focus on hair cutting at the hair school. I did hair for like 5 years, 4 or 5 years after school, and it just wasn't my thing. And but you know, I knew I didn't want to go to college, but I knew if I was going to go to college, I didn't want to have a regular job getting, you know, regular college student money. Because right. in high school, I had 3 jobs. So when I knew that, well, if I didn't go to college, I at least wanted something that I could still grow into. So luckily, being a creative, I was already going to be good at cutting hair, design, and just, you know, tightening up the details yeah. of the craft. And from there, you know, the cutting kids' hair, so I don't really care about cutting hair that much. Then when it came to kids, I love kids. Like when I was volunteer at church, they called me the baby whisperer because whenever they were like, I worked in the nursery and the 1-year-olds. That was the ones was my sweet spot because they're old enough to become that they're becoming independent. Mm-hmm. From when they turn one to exiting out of one. So, but they're also still want to be babied enough. And they're still, and they're aware of their humanity enough to, that they're close to God, but just trying to figure out this thing called life, right?
Yeah.
And so when they would come in, I would like, how I would calm them down, I would get them and I say, I know it's hard for you. I spoke to the human. Like, I know it's hard. It's adjusting. I got you. Welcome to Earth. You know what I'm saying? Welcome to space. You know what I'm saying? But you got this. I know. You know what I'm saying? And so,
can you come over and just calm me down? Because I'm stressing out right now.
Will you record that for me so I can play it?
For real. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I love it.
You have to welcome them. And that's what we know. And because, you know, a sidebar, like, you got to remember, like, the way we see a gnat's life, you know what I'm saying? That it's born one part of the day and then dies by the end of the day. That's how we are in the eyes of God. We here, we gone. You know what I'm saying? Right. And so, dude, really, like being stressed out and being worried and all that stuff, it's too heavy. So I wanted to make sure that, you know, when I had worked with the kids at the capacity, I was good. I was very intentional about that. And so they were bringing a kid to me before they called their parents up. And most of the time, they never had to call their parents up. And probably out of like 10 years of me doing, I probably called like 3 parents, maybe 4, to come get their kids because they wanted me. They were still very much attached to their child. They wanted to come and get the child out, right? So when it came to cutting hair, you know, kids in general are nightmares a lot of time when they come to like first haircuts.
Oh yeah.
They don't even know why they're crying. They don't even know. They're just reacting to whatever, right?
The mirror. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, the buzzers, it's
the noise. Yeah.
I didn't want to do that. I was like, I don't want to be yelled at for 15. Then you have the parents that come in like, okay, listen, I want my son to have a fade, you know, and sharp hairline.
I'm right. Like, you got like Kung Fu Panda in the seat.
Yeah.
I'm like, do you see or do you see? What?
You see this child?
You know, so in my perfectionist mind, which is a lot of barbers and stylists go through, we're sort of perfectionists that it's hard for us to marriage trying to do all this. So it is rather just not do kids all together. And so I got to that point that I thought about doing it, especially with special needs kids, because parents, they would book their kids' appointment and my kids' spots for 15 minutes. And so I'm very of a time nut because my business, you know, you got to master your time and be efficient, right? Exactly. You know, and so, you know, I was like, man, but they would never specify that their child give a heads up, you know, hey, just so you know, my child is on the spectrum, da da da. So when they would get there, they would come in running through the shop. They'd be doing that thing, and no one knows what's going on. And, you know, it may take about 15, 20 minutes to get them into the chair.
Just to get them calmed down and, yes.
Exactly. If that even happens. Right. And then the parent, you know, there's the idea of what haircut they want. You know, so I had no control over the experience, and I felt I was always reacting. You know, so I said, you know what, I'm going to stop. I didn't want to stop doing kids' hair, but I wanted to. But I also was like, you know what, I didn't want to be another person that told the families no.
Yeah.
So I said, listen, I know that I can at least do it from a place of love. I don't want to do it, but I'd rather, I would rather endure through whatever it's going to take to get this going for them, because I know they do film Place of Love. And so that put my heart into position to be open to the idea for the gifting event to come around, where I said, let me just come in once a month on my day off on a third Monday. I call it the gifting event because I'm like, I didn't want to call it Special Needs Haircut Day or some bullshit like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to, you know, from a marketing mindset, from a person who came from doing shows and doing events and whatnot, I wanted to make an experience that it feel like,
feels special.
A project. Yeah, exactly. You know, and so so the word with gifted came in my mind first, but I'm like, I didn't want it to feel like. But I'm like, well, you know, the first thought was, I mean, usually the word gifted is for, you know, is reserved for the kids that go to all these special schools. But I'm like, hold up. I'm like, but these kids are gifted too. Yes, they're very smart. They know what's going on. They're very aware. They just do it differently. I'm like, no, fuck it. I'm going to call it a gifted event.
I love it.
You know, so therefore, you know, after that, you know, I put it out. I chose the date a month later. It was like August 13th of that year. And that was, next thing you know, it's done what it's done. I kept getting so many parents that would reach out to me and say, or when they got to me, like, listen, I don't know what it's about you, but my son never sat that still. I'm like, you serious? I mean, they're cool right now. I mean, it happens so much, ladies.
So you would close the salon specially. So there wasn't like other people or noises. It was just for you and these kids.
Okay.
Exactly. And it was happening so much that I felt like I was being like punked. Like I was being like come on.
Yeah. Come on.
Like, am I that good? like it's happening too much. You know what I'm saying? Like, quit playing with me. You know, but it just kept happening. And so, and that's why I started recording the videos, because like, people got to see what's happening here.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where.
It's pretty special.
It's so hopeful. It's so hopeful. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
Autism parents need hope. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Vernon, I don't know if you've, and it's okay if you haven't. I mean, it's not even trying to remotely, because I just more want to talk to the parents who you know, our weekly listeners. If you have watched Love on the Spectrum, if you're familiar with Connor or Tanner, but this really hit with me, and Jack knew that. That's why Jack came and got me. Mm-hmm. Connor was horrific as a child with sensory issues, toe walking, auditory noises. And I liked a clean cut little boy haircut. I'm not one of these moms who's doing the man bun. That's not girl. That's not me. And I wanted a clean cut little boy haircut. And Connor would, I mean, I did everything. We bribed him. We went to the places where he sat in a plastic plane or and other parents would stare at us. Connor would cut the stylist would get hurt. Cause he would fight so hard, they would get hurt. And then they would tell me to leave with them. Or I would have to sit and like violate his human rights, to like holding him in a restraint to.
Yeah.
And so you, people who see Connor today on TV probably wouldn't believe that that was him as a child, but it was, I mean, to where when he was due for a haircut, I was getting physically sick because I knew it was going to be embarrassing. I knew it was going to be expensive because I would pay you for just your injuries that you were going to get.
Yeah.
Connor was distraught. I was distraught. The whole day was like a thing. So this really stood out for me. I lived it.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
You know what? Tanner had a ton of sensory issues, but he never fought a haircut. It was funny. He'd always would do very well with a haircut. I mean, he was a normal little toddler, clingy, just, you know, separation anxiety from mom, but he never fought the haircut. So we were lucky on that one.
Yeah.
So Vernon,
No, go.
No, I was just going to say, is it the environment you set up for them? Like, what do you think the magic sauce? What do you think it is?
Man, you know what, ladies, I feel like it's the calm spirit. Like I do everything I do outside of work prepares me for being at work. You know, I like, you know, once in my church, the sermon said, don't work to rest, work from a place of rest. Right. And so therefore I'm fully rested, like this weekend, I'm fully rested that by the time I get back to work, I'm going to be fully present.
You're in the ready.
You know? And so I'm very intentional about not trying to, like, not have bringing stress of my personal life into, you know, work, and I'm, or try, I do everything I can to not be in a rushing mindset and spirit. And so, and then when that doesn't happen, I'm still very much still and opened up my, when a kid walks in for the first time, my energy, I'm, hey, how you doing? Hey.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. And I let them do what they want to do. If their initial energy is like, no, all that, you know how they do it. And they just want to walk around and see what's going on. And they just want to be happy and just get warmed up to me. I allow that to happen. And I also celebrate every win. Whether it's a high five, there we go. Or if they give me a hug, I celebrate it with them. If they, you know, whatever they do, you know what? I don't know if you seen one of my posts one time, because somebody has said on one of my Facebook posts, like, man, like, you do a good job dealing with these kids like that. And I said, I heard what you, I know what you're trying to say. I said, hey, thank you so much, man. But as a wording adjustment, I don't deal with these kids. Honestly, they deal with me. You know what I'm saying? Because they allow me into the space where they're the most terrified to do what they really don't want to do.
Right.
You know? And so that, in that spirit, they're dealing with me because they have the fear. They have the anxiety around this event. And so, and the thing is with what I do, the haircut is just the environment, the catalyst, that the portal, mm-hmm. right? That really shows on a very sometimes violent and wild end just how much we all in our own way are operating from a place of fear and our life about the things that we really need the most. And we really need people around us that allow us to be human mm-hmm. in it, be able to love us in it and through it. It. Mm-hmm. You know, and so, you know, but also, so people, I remember one time, one of the things that a lot of women tell me that they find attractive about me outside of my good looks is that,
of course. You know,
they're always like you're so patient, and sometimes there's some like will you be patient with me like that? And I kept hearing that. I'm like, what's going on? So I gotta process it and talk it out with my friends to see what's happening here. What am I missing here? And the thing is, I feel like women wanted patience so much because either they didn't get it in their own relationships with mm-hmm. people in their life, and that, and people reacted to them not getting things fast enough or whatever case is going on. But at the same time, I had to think about the work that I do with the kids. I the reason why it's so easy for me to be patient increasingly to do it is because there's nothing wrong. This time I really don't give a shit and they piss me off. And I'm saying, like, I'm like, yo, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm like, if I'm done, it's done, right? Like, I don't push past my back. Like, I don't care how undone the haircut is. We will stop right here, bring it back tomorrow in 2 days. You know what I'm saying? Like, so so I'm like, but the thing, so what it was is that, but it's easy for me to be patient with my clients because my patience yields results with them.
Yeah.
Because as I'm being patient with them, even in their fear, in their whatever, their anxiety, they're still leaning in to me and into my leadership and my guidance.
I love it.
They're willing to, you know what I'm saying? A lot of times in dating with women, they just want the patience, but they don't want to yield, they don't want to lean into their part of becoming vulnerable and doing through that process. And so I'm like, that's where I'm like, okay, now I have the language to describe both why I love what I do and why the patients that I and because also, I mean, really, the patients that I'm showing is the patients that I receive. You know, like, mm-hmm. like you know how much I've messed up a guy, like, you know, on my,
he's still there.
You know what I'm saying? Like, for that's my comparison to me. Well, I would think that. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like
we all need it.
Exactly. Well, but and no matter what, it always worked out. You know, it always worked out. Even when I made the most messed up mistakes at X, Y, and Z, it was always grace there, you know? And so, I seen how the things that came out of it were nothing that I could have done in the immediate on my right. own for it to work out how it did. So I cannot see those results and not see the covering over my life, you know? And so
I agree. And I mean, I think it's like what you said. I mean, and what you're saying has brought up two things in my mind of what you've just said and just using it with the haircuts or in dating or relationships. But it's two events in my life, and one of which was my divorce when I was going through my divorce from my kid's dad. And I remember, just sort of in vain, I will circle it to what you just said. My father's, you know, really came to be by my side during some of that. And he said to me, and, you know, it was in the throes, my husband was leaving. I had these four little kids and I was praying and I was just praying for this to stop. Like, don't let my life blow up. And my father said, stop praying for what you want. God is not there to take your order. Pray for the strength to do his will.
Yes.
Pray for the strength to execute his plan. And he's like, and then there you will be okay. And then the second thing is, I've said to Connor in these instances, and it's also similar with leaning into patience, is, you know, Connor being a little rigid of thought at times when people, his siblings make him upset or angry or mad, he doesn't always, is not quick to forgive. He has a hard time coming off of the dysregulation. And he will say, I'm never forgiving Jack, the one who told us about you. He's like, and then I said, well, sit down. If have you ever made a mistake? Have you ever messed up with me? And he said, I said, have you ever needed me to forgive you? And he said, yeah. And I said, then you can't withhold it. Yeah. Unless you're, right? So same sort of thing. And it's just coming through. And it's like these beautiful arching, you know, messages that I think.
I know. I had two thoughts too while you were talking. When you were talking about how you bring your spirit to the kids, how you prepare yourself to approach them.
Yeah.
Our whole life, Tanner has been to me, he is my walking, breathing check of my behavior, because however I approach him is what he and I are so connected and so tight. Whatever, if I'm, you know, being short with people, rushing people, being impatient, being harsh, or talking, you know, in a harsh, nasty way, he's going to give that right back to me, because he's like a mirror, and he functions on such a raw emotional level that I'm always thinking, like, I literally have to prepare myself to deal with the communication differences and with the fact that he's so emotional and so connected to me. It makes him really tender. But if I'm not self-aware, you're going to get bad stuff back out of him. And so when you said that, it's all about how you approach these kids, being patient and being ready for them, and not taking your own crap into the encounter with that child. And that just really hit me, because I think of that with Tanner all the time. When I mess up and then I get bad behavior back, I'm like, well, it was really my fault, because I didn't approach him right, you know?
Yeah. And that's what I love about, you know, the demographic so much is that, you know, one thing with kids, they're already, they haven't learned how to lie yet.
Right.
They haven't learned how to lie about the care for your feelings, or they haven't done that. And so they don't give a shit. And so, and that's the kind of honesty, that's the kind of brutal honesty I want from people around me. Like, no, you gotta be an asshole, but be honest, right? And so, you know, like, and so, you know, and the thing about, you know, about the kids and about, you know, on the spectrum and Down syndrome, that they're like, they're really
honest.
they really require you to do. You one, you gotta be intentional about, like as you said, at least, like, you have to, like, articulate to them the human experience, like, what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
They like, children force adults to think through and articulate the human experience and the whys behind the morality and a why behind actions and forgiveness and grace and being stern and being intentional. You have to ask yourself, well, what does that really look like?
What does it really mean?
What I'm saying? Because you say respect, but how do you articulate respect?
What do I mean when I say that word? Or I'm never going to forgive. Well, cool. But have you ever needed to be forgiven? And how bad did you feel when you wanted it and someone withheld it? Now that person's you. And so then you see little dots join and I'm like, you can hold it all day long, but don't ever expect it.
Right.
Exactly.
And so, and it's just that was just interesting. So you have had no formal training with special, because that was one of my questions.
That's amazing.
Did you seek out, resource? This is just all God-given instinct and just, you are very, it's coming through this to me. You're very, very soothing and I don't know, you're probably really good for my blood pressure. Do you know what I mean?
I love it.
No, I mean, I get your energy and it's really just a God-given gift.
Yeah. I mean, I receive it. I didn't have any training. I guess in the recent years, I got some really good techniques from a young lady I know in Houston, Texas named Jelly Robinson. She's phenomenal. And that kind of gave me a different perspective, more on the science perspective of it. I'm more of a relationship type of, let me observe you. Let me pay attention to you. What is it that if your challenge is a sound, okay, let me play a sound that you, or do a sound like my something. The most extreme thing I would use is my cordless air blower, because it's loud, and so I would use that to balance out, so you're not hearing it.
The buzzer or whatever.
Exactly, so I'm using it, I may have them, somebody use that and have them blow the hair around on the floor. So now I'm taking their mind off of the focus of something else, in their hands, so they feel something different. So you really have to debate on what they really gonna allow themselves to feel.
Yeah.
Right? So while I'm cutting, sometimes that doesn't work. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes I have a kid he's probably 12, but this boy, he's very sensitive to no matter what I do, he is like that. And I got to remind, breathe. You know what I'm saying? When I have a child that comes in and they're going through it, and I was like, they let me hold them, or if they don't, I'm just breathe. I hear you. I got you. I got you. There you go. I see you. Awesome. Good breathing. You know, so that's the thing that, I just try to to be in a rhythm that counteracts, but allows them the space to be where they are and without trying to force them out of it. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times people want to force them, their mindset is to force them out to force them out of their response and their reaction to what's about to happen or what's happening, so much that they're not connecting to the human in them. And so now it's everybody's it's frustrated. I'm no.
Tense, yeah.
Yeah, everybody's tense.
Dysregulate even further. Yeah, they can get even more.
Yeah. And sometimes, listen, that's when things are going right, y'all. Listen, there's time, I really try to show the most challenging side of what I do, too. Sometimes we hold some kids down and just get through a haircut, and we all sweaty, and all the things. But that's why I work out. I think working out seriously, because I have to be able to protect a mom's or father's face for when the kid want to
snap their head back.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So I have to be able to hold, keeping in movement. My wife is in response to what my wife needs. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to be squatting down a lot with the kids' haircuts, I got to do squats, got to do endurance training with my legs. Yeah. His steps. If I want to be holding, different kids at some capacity or another, my arms and my back gotta be strong enough to be able to support when I'm doing that. You know what I'm saying? So, so if I gotta be calm, cool, collected, I gotta have my plants and have the right people around me, my wife, that create that energy, that bring it out of me. And that's, you know what I'm saying? And so, and that know how to regulate me and center me, you know? So they teach me about me too.
Yep. For sure. Don't they though, Lise?
How long have you been doing the Gifted event? How long have you been doing it?
It'll be 4 years this August.
Wow. And are any other barbers, have they joined you with this? Have you inspired anybody to come on with you? Or is this just a Vernon Jackson deal?
In my shop, right now, I'm the only barber that's working in there right now. I have two stylists that work in my salon, on my salon side. But no, everybody, you know, it's not, you know, everybody don't have the temperament. They listen to a child that's 8, 6, 7 screaming at the top of their lungs.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And fighting to go through it. And I think it's cool to hear. I got a lot more people. It's cool to see that I've been able to inspire a lot of new stylists and barbers that are people that aren't in the field, but they want to go to school to learn. I have a guy that's down in Tennessee who had their brother who's on the spectrum, but after seeing my content, he intentionally enrolled into the barber school. He ended up getting the last grant that his state had that was going to give him, period, for free barbering classes that the state was going to pay for. You know what I'm saying? He wouldn't focus on doing special needs kids. You know what I'm saying? So he drove up here to shadow me for a couple of days. And that's what's happening. But I have an online course. But the thing is, like, I can teach you the techniques, but you really got to have the spirit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's more than the actual, the techniques help. But having a heart for it is a great start for it, for sure.
Yeah, oh, for sure. That's so good. And isn't that so true? Like with any therapist, any teacher, and even as a parent, you've got to be in the right spirit to help that child. You've got to be your best self and you have to be in a good place before you can make it a good place for that child. So that you're right. They are teaching us all the time. I always think autism is so raw. Like, I think we use that word a lot, at least, like, between, like, everything is very raw with him. Like, because there's no pretense. He has no motivation that's hidden. He has no judgment. He just is what he is. Yeah. You know, it's just like, this is how I feel. This is how I feel about you. And this is where we are. And that's it's kind of hard. Some days it's really hard because I'm not ready. I'd rather hide behind something. But he brings it out, you know, and to make a bigger child. Hasn't developed the skills. That's incredible. I love it.
And that's real. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I try to encourage the parents, like, it's okay for you to feel how you feel. You don't have to feel like you gotta be, you know, this super emotionless or whatever type of person. No. If you're tired, you're tired.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to be so soft to them to no. You know what I'm saying? Forget these kids. Like, you got to, you got to know the real, boundaries. We got to stop. We got to stop with this. We got to, we move over here. Like, I have one parent one time who's her son was had a meltdown. He was great for every haircut. You know, he was rough at the beginning. Then we got to a great groove. And all of a sudden, he just didn't want to get a haircut. He was just feeling how he was feeling. And she was like, you know, and she's one of the moms that really was really, you know, just wanted to be over her son and be in control and want to be the savior all the time, right? Yeah. And so there's another part I'm trying to teach them, move, stop, chill, relax.
Let someone else lead. Yeah.
Because you do have work, but it's not really working. It's really creating more damage than you think. Yeah. And so, you know, he's having a meltdown, and every time you go to him, which a lot of times with the kids, the more attention you give them, no matter if it's nice or whatever, the more they go into their meltdown. It's like they're taking your energy and they're metabolizing it, and they're making it bigger. So it'll be like, it's okay. They were like,
Yeah. It was working.
I try to say, listen,
they spiral.
Move. I say, leave. Let's go in this room. He want to come to us. Don't worry about it. We go in here. And what did he do? He followed us in there.
Yeah.
I said, see? I said, now what you do is you let him know that you can't be in here if you're crying. Mm-hmm. So you can't be next to me if you're crying. Then we went to the other room. He started to get it, regulate, and calm down.
See,
Yeah. You know what I mean? So, you know, so that's the thing where that I learned that by paying attention to, because they're being manipulative too. They're being manipulative. You got to, you know what I'm saying? Like, and they know what buttons to push. Like, remember, you remember being a kid? You knew what buttons to push in your parents?
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah.
What?
Sure.
And you're neurotypical. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, like, let's, like, come on. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like no matter what their diagnosis is, like, they're still children.
No, Vernon, that's always been my philosophy with Connor, raising him. And I, you know, a lot of people are like, what did you do? How did you? And I know we're in a season and I don't really understand it. And I don't want to get a bunch of comments, people, but I don't really understand the gentle parenting that we're in.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't come from that generation.
Me either.
I didn't raise my kids like that. And they pretty much, you know, Connor wasn't the exception because he had a diagnosis. Connor's bar was whether he needed scaffolding or accommodation, but Connor's bar was there and we were going to do this. And I think it served him well. I mean, did he try it on now and that one time he did come home after he was told and he's like, well, I just told the teacher I had autism. And I said, excuse me, sir.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I mean, he had a moment where he was like, he was used to, and I was like, he had gotten to a point where he was knew he had accommodations. And I was like, sir, you still have to do X, Y, and Z. And so, you know, and I'm not saying that could be a unique situation, but I'm also saying I'm like you, that's fine. If you need to have this meltdown and we'll put you in a safe place and you can do it, but I'm going to be over here when you want to join me over here. Or whatever. And because a lot of people like, what did you do with Connor? Well, Connor didn't always lead the way. We parented, right, Nikki? That was our generation.
Yeah.
We parented. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you. I think you can be gentle, yet austere. You know what I'm saying? They a lot of times parents just want to be gentle touch and don't want to offend their child. They don't want to, you know, they're afraid of the, like, I'm like, the meltdown. I'm like, listen, one of the main things I tell parents, I said, your child is going to cry with or without your permission. Okay? Yeah. They're going to have their own meltdown for what they want. You might as well make them have a meltdown for what you want for once. You know, like, seriously, like, no, they, okay, no, do this. You have great meltdown, but we're still doing it. We're still doing it. It still needs to get done. You know what I'm saying? And so what that does is it empowers you as a person to know you're not always in reaction to what the child does or what they do not want to do. You know? And I know, and listen, and I tell parents, listen, I know it's exhausting to have to be that way. I know it is. You know, I get them for 30 minutes every 2 weeks or once a month. And I am exhausted. So I can only imagine in different areas of their life.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. But understand, like, but you have to do it. You have to do it, because if you don't do it, what you're doing, when you're not being austere, you're not being intentional, you're not being, because, I mean, listen, it's your first time going through this with them. So turn it into an experiment. See what stimulates them. What stimuli gets them to move and be more in a control mindset of the environment. Because when you're doing it in your family circle, your family source, now you can see what is going on before they go out to the world.
Right.
Yes. You don't want to wait till they go out to the world, and then the world is doing experiments trying to figure out what's going on. You never figure out what it was that triggered this, or, you know what I'm saying? Like,
when you had them in the home.
Yeah. And that's what I always said. I said, the world out here isn't always going to accommodate for Connor. That's a hard truth, and I don't like it, but it's a hard truth. So in a safe space, in a space that, you know, people love him and we keep him safe and he won't get hurt, but we need to see what's gonna, you know, now, not to say we were kicking off tantrums and all this stuff, but in real life situations, i.e. haircuts, we had to learn how to deal with them. Now the man has a full on beard. He gets lined up a couple times a week and He's like Mr. Barber now. I mean, he's like a spokesperson with Manscaped. I'm like, who are you?
I'm like Manscaped. Oh my God.
No, he's smooth for sure.
But it's because I wasn't like, Hunter, you know, do you think we could get a hair? No, sir. We got to sit. We got to do it. We're going to learn how to do it. I'm going to cry with you. I'm going to bleed with you. We're going to do this.
Facts. No, I get it.
Now come for me in the comments.
That's right. Go get her. That's such a good parenting tip you just said, though, like being a proactive, not a reactive parent. And that was one thing Mark and I talked about so much. If you let your kids know, okay, this is our expectation. We're going to love you through it. If you don't understand, you can ask a question. If you need help and support, we will be there. But here's what mom and dad expect from you, be it grades or sports or friendship or household duties. Kids are so much happier rather than you going, how did you feel? And you should know how they feel. Or would you like to? No, because your boss is not going to ask, would you like to? You know,
right.
I mean, when you go in any real life situation, they don't care if you want to. You have to conform to the situation.
I mean, my sales numbers aren't a suggestion. Right. They're my job.
And I wish more people understood that that doesn't mean that you don't care and that you don't love and you don't help and support through. But kids are happier when they know what's expected and they feel safe. They feel so much safer when you do that. And it's, I don't know why that's a hard concept to grasp. But I mean, I feel like my kids are a walking testament. They're all productive, nice, you know, self-sufficient members of society, but they were held to a standard. And they knew that they were going to get, things were going to happen if they didn't hit that standard, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And no, listen, I see it in your face right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? When you started doing that, I was like, I started paying more attention even more. I was like,
I got Vernon paying attention. Sit up.
Yes, ma'am.
I was locked in for sure. I was like,
that's so funny. But it I don't know. It just drives me crazy sometimes when you, all this about, you know, letting the child lead, let him lead you. What? You crazy.
Exactly.
Where are they going?
Exactly.
Yeah. Where are we going? They don't know where they're going.
Where are we going? What were you doing?
Exactly.
Do you know?
I just found out where I was going yesterday. Well, how do you know where we're going?
Yo. So let me ask y'all a question. Okay. So,
ask us.
All right. So Nikki, your son was the one that was on Drew Barrymore, right?
He was on what?
Kelly Clarkson.
Right?
Yeah.
How was that for you? Like, cause that was an amazing,
let me tell you, Kelly Clarkson and every single person on her staff and on her production crew, they are anointed. Just like you're anointed to do what you do, they are anointed to do what they do. Kelly Clarkson is the nicest person, so down to earth, so normal, no pretense about her. She's not trying to be anything that she's not.
Yeah.
Her, the producer that worked with us, Laura Palmer, an angel. Yeah. She not only like made the experience happen for Tanner, but she did Zooms with him before, did a virtual walkthrough of the studio. She sent him everything laid out so that he could acclimate, so that he could know what was going on. They went so far above and beyond what they had to do to make that experience good for him. It was just real. But for me to watch him walk out on that stage with his sister, handle himself well, answer questions, and just be composed and looking like a handsome young man out there. It was surreal. It didn't. I was watching him, and then the whole Jack Black thing. Like he truly didn't know. Like he did not know.
I was crying. I was crying.
Like, we knew. My heart rate. My other daughter and I. We were holding hands. Our hands were shaking, and like my heart was just pounding. I was like, he's about to get the best thing that ever happened to him. And we're watching it. Like we're watching it happen. It was, I'll never be able to thank them. I'll never be able to thank them or Jack Black. It was amazing.
He's like, I love you.
Jack Black's glasses were fogging up.
I know. It was the best. And the way he didn't push Tanner away and the way he let him get in his space and just let all that emotion out, like as a mom, like that was the best gift he could have ever given to me, because a lot of people would have pushed him back or been like, you know, oh, this is too much. He didn't, he pulled him in, you know, he went in for more. And I was like, okay, you get it. I was like, you understand what's going on here. So it was so, cool. It was so cool.
That's dope. I went to, I did a Jennifer Hudson show. And Kelly Clarkson show, I think they have reached out to me one time in the same period of time. They're trying to get me to choose which one I wanted to do.
Oh, you need to go on Kelly too. Do them both.
I know, but I didn't know, you know, I got to find the right producer to talk to about it. But
I know one.
Well, you know what?
Y'all get together on that.
Go for it. No, for sure.
I got your number, Vernon. I'm going to help you out.
You do. You know, I love Kelly. And so I saw that opportunity had occurred, and especially in a time where there's so like I'm loving that I am also a part of this process that is showing the process and people on a spectrum in a totally different light.
Totally different.
That's ever been shown before. Yeah. And
part of that acceptance movement, because there's awareness all day long. We can all be aware. When do we turn aware into accept, into action, into real inclusion without any sort of condition?
For sure. But we do that by you know, becoming so much more regular in our lexicon, and the visuals, and the fact that like my videos, I remember my one video with a boy named Harry, it did 30 million views in 3 days on TikTok.
Whoa.
Right now it's at 45.9 million. But it was like how I created the space for him and that whole process, right? It was a textbook of all of my techniques working for this situation. And Harry was one of the kids that before me was having a harder time before haircuts. They couldn't even get him it was a lot. And that was my first time seeing him, you know? Yeah. And so, you know, so it's at least exactly this. I'm like, you can't, I'm like,
that's
man,
crazy.
You know,
crazy.
So, you know, so.
Thank you for doing it. Because as a mom with that kid, who I got a pit in my stomach every time we had to see that little stripy pole. I was like,
"Yo," and they know it too. So so your son now, he's like he's a cool. I mean, the way he talks to the ladies, you know what I'm saying?
I don't even know.
He got his boundaries and everything.
He's like kissing people with hands in the head.
I know. I was like, that kiss, Connor?
I'm like, what? You know what I'm saying? Like.
He is. I mean, what's the song? He's smoother than a fresh jar of Skippy. I've never seen it. I was like,
it'd be direct too. It's a girl that he was like, I think it was a girl from Tennessee, wherever she was, and she was like, it was like the first episode.
The blonde.
He was like, you know, long distance and whatnot. Like, it's, you know, it's not my. You know what they say, right? You know what they say. You know, she's like, yeah, no. I know what they say. You're right. I agree.
You know, his nickname, like you were saying about not lying, his nickname in the house, Vernon, is Truth Serum. Because I can come out and I can have something on and be like, baby, my husband, do I look big? My butt look big? Right. No, baby, that looks good. I go, Connor, does my butt look big? He's like, yeah. That's right. But put something else on. And I'm like, he will tell me. You got me out here looking like something big in the street, and this one will at least tell me.
Because he ain't got nothing to lose. He ain't got nothing to lose. You already know he'll be honest with you. Your husband is like, man, listen.
Yeah.
I want the cookies, and I don't want no problem. Okay? I'm not trying to wait.
No, you look great, baby.
You look fantastic.
I'm not telling the truth ever again. What? At what cost? To me?
That is true.
He's like, she's the answer. Just not for me.
Right? I love it.
Anyway. So, Vernon, what's next for you? What is going on now? What's going on now? You're going to keep the gifted event, but what, I mean, you seem like someone who doesn't like sit still, like you're evolving, and where are we going? Where are we going next?
Back burner, yeah.
You know what? I don't do goals, but I do have things that I am I like to do my work right now and allow it to develop to the best thing that it can develop into. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so Paul Mitchell reached out to me and they've asked me to be up on a panel with them for their conference in Vegas. And they haven't had this conference since before COVID. And so it sold out in 2 days. I mean, all the big things, and Paul Mitchell is going to be there. Paul Mitchell himself is going to be there. I want to do more speaking engagements, not just talking about gifted and gifted itself, but also how creating space for the people who may need your services and what you can offer, and trying to find purpose in alignment with what you do without feeling like you like trying to do something, right? I just want to be able to talk to people about becoming better humans, you know, in their best capacity, and not just looking for their gifts, but receiving their gifts. Gifts aren't looked for, they're received. And so, you know, I want to make sure I want to do that with the Gifted event, travel more, do more, go to more avenues or go to more families in different cities. I really want to start, choose a city for 3 or 4 months, get the kids, whether I do with different kids each and every time, or I just do the same kids for 4 months, 3 or 4 months.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Acclimated, and then move around from there to different city, do that once a month. But with that, it just takes the fundraising part of it, really, that, you know what I'm saying? Like, I love to do it, but at the same time, if the money I'm raising is only supporting the haircuts and paying for the haircuts and me editing the videos and all that stuff to produce it, it just doesn't make
travel and the
you know what I'm saying? So
it's that's reality.
That's the thing. Like, you know, and then the other part about it is I want to make sure I just really become more in tune with the kids, with the parents, and create more and do more things for the parents. I want to do more things for the parents and bring in, that's why, if you notice, I've been doing a lot more, being more intentional and having parents talk about their stories on, like, in the videos. What's your story? How'd you get here? And then they tell me.
What's the story about the mom? Did her husband pass away? Like,
are you went with Soren?
He was a police officer.
Yeah. So his first appointment, the father had a heart event, and he crashed into another car, and he ended up passing away, like that night. Yeah. And so, you know, it was wow, because for him, his father, they in the video, he was giving like a mullet, or he was trying to buzz it off, but he wanted to have a fade. And so, this is his first time getting his haircut in the shop, you know what I'm saying? And I was able to give him the haircut that his father wanted him to have, you know? And so, you know, and I always want to make sure that I, because every child, every haircut, everybody has their story. I have families that drive 3 hours to come with their kids' haircut.
Oh, I bet.
You know what I'm saying? Too. Like, I had a family that drove in from Toronto. They had twin boys that were on the spectrum, and they just had a 6-month-old daughter, and they drove in from Toronto.
From Toronto?
Yes. Or it was Ontario, and got the kids' haircut. And I paid for their hotel room. I paid for their gas. One time I had one woman, a white family that adopted a black child who on a spectrum, who also a wheelchair user. He's adorable. He just she's looking for a barber. They're in Minnesota. And people on TikTok just kept tagging me, And so I flew them in. I flew the mom, the boy, and her son in, and I got them into an Airbnb.
I
Got
love
to
it.
the zoo. Told them where to hang out at and whatnot. His haircut was a 2-day process, and got him a nice haircut. And so, that's the type of thing that I really I want to do. I want to be able to really, I've flown. I have a very strong following in London. I 1 year I flew out to London, teamed up with a barber out there, my guy Yin, and in Norwood, London, and about four families travel over an hour and a half with the kids. They come get their haircuts by me, and so it's like I really want to be able to take what I do to the world,
So there's a real beautiful mission here, and I do want to, if there's anything we can share in our show notes or on any of the texts in terms of fundraising link, or if people want to donate, follow you, just please give us everything. We'll make sure it gets in, because this was really big for me because of, like, of again, I still have PTSD from it. But hearing even just this mission, this vision, you want to travel to cities, you want to have more outreach, you bring families in at your expense. And I just, if anybody wants to help and donate to Vernon, I really just, whatever you can do to help us, we want to help promote that for you and share.
Oh, thank you.
And we'll
Thank
share
you.
it on the boys' platforms. I mean, I just
Absolutely. I'm
really
going
want to make sure you
to share
get
across the
seen
boys. Yeah.
and you get support to help these families, because you're doing good work.
No, I gotta say, like, at the work, I don't care about being seen. People are like, how you doing? I don't know if it's my sign, I'm the Capricorn. I don't know what it is, like, but I knew early on. Like I was going, like my first, the first person who ever spoke life into me, my late grandfather. I was like, I'm gonna be like 3 or 4 years old, and he was looked down and he looked. I'd be playing, or he looked down at me and said, "You're gonna be great." And I remember that. And when I got older, I remember having anxiety about like I knew I was gonna be doing something big, but I didn't know what it was gonna be. But the anxiety around it was the fact that when you do something big. And I know it, and it's gonna be around people. It's gonna be around people. You gotta take care of people. And I didn't want that weight, that pressure of
There's
having
one
the
question.
responsibility of like being looked at, right? And having that kind of thing. And God, Dad, thank you. Like it's he's what he's done is package it up in such a way that I get to do and be me. Be completely and fully blessed and very well taken care of, and be seen globally without leaving my city, but not feel as if it's all of me. That it's not my responsibility. It's not, I don't have to feel like, oh, I gotta do this. I gotta look at these numbers of the analytics on all the platforms. Whenever I get into that, I tap out like it ain't none of my business. And I remove myself and I just chill out. I just, you know what I'm saying? And I'm glad I had that if I didn't go through those periods of my life that I talked to you earlier in this
Heart
interview.
points, your heart points.
My heart story.
Heart
Yeah,
story.
my heart story. And if I didn't go through that, if I didn't discover my boundaries and I didn't respect my boundaries, so my boundaries could always protect me. If I didn't get to those points and be able to experience life to say no, like I don't want that. I don't I now So when you say, no, the work that I do is being seen, and that these stories are being magnified. You know what I'm saying? That's all I care about. Me, I'm not strong enough. I'm not strong enough, and I don't want it. I don't want it. But I am built for this, for
Yeah,
sure.
I want to help support the mission and the kids. And if we can get people to do that, then God bless you. And I thank
What
you.
a cool gift that would be to give to a family to sponsor a haircut. I mean, how
And at
cool.
the distance, you're doing it. Just amazing.
Yo, no, ladies, y'all the best. Y'all, man, like seriously, man. Y'all came this close to get me to cry. I'm still high off my trip, so I'm cool. You know what I'm saying? I was just on the beach trying to get his hand this morning noon. So You know what I mean? Like, so I'm still kind of in that vibe, but you is this close. You know what I'm saying? Like,
wow. Well, listen, you're an angel on this earth. If I could give you a big squeeze, I would. We'll meet someday. Our paths will cross. I feel like they will. You need to line up my man.
We need a nice fresh haircut for Connor and Tanner.
No, for real. What cities are y'all
with? I'm Atlanta.
You're Atlanta?
Yep. Yeah.
We'll come over there.
Both y'all in Atlanta?
We're South Carolina.
Yeah.
What? Well, first of all, I'm not gonna say what I'm gonna say about Atlanta, but it's the traffic. I get traffic anxiety. You hear me?
It's bad.
Like, you see, you can't even tell, but I clench my chair.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The idea of traffic just sends me over. Right?
Then maybe we need to go to Clemson, Lace.
We'll go to South Carolina then.
Yeah, we'll keep it calm for you.
Let's do that.
I can drive the 2 hours there, but my man needs a good lineup.
Come to Clemson. Listen. It's very, very low key.
Listen, we can plan out 3 weeks out, and I'll make sure time. I'll file out for real, and I'll make sure. I got you.
I love it.
Let's do it.
The boys will be looking fresh. We'll get them all good.
Come on. So good.
I got you.
Vernon, thank you so much for joining us. We really had such a fun hour with you, and I do. I feel your energy, and you're beautiful. And just make sure we have everything we need. Want everyone to follow you. What your Instagram handle? What is that?
Tell us everything.
So Instagram, people want to follow me on Instagram. It's more like my personal page, but I still post content on there. I never changed it because I still want people to know who I am before I got to this point, right? So it's the best, the number one, spelled out. On YouTube and TikTok, they can follow me at The Gifted Event Official.
Okay.
You guys heard it. Go like, follow this man, watch his content.
Follow Vernon.
And then I'm going to take you up on that beard trim for my man.
No, seriously, do it. That would be so fun. What great content could we create? Can you imagine a conversation with Tanner and Connor and Vernon?
That would be hilarious.
That'd be amazing.
Listen. Look for a day next month. Okay. I'm there. I promise you.
Let's do it.
Okay, we'll work it out on email.
So fun.
Here we go.
All right. We always leave with we love you, mean it.
We love you, mean it.
I love you, mean it. I receive it.
Bye, y'all.
Thank you, Vernon.
You're welcome.
Lastly, everybody, if you liked hanging out with us today, do us a favor, hit the follow button, leave a rating, or drop a quick review. It helps more than you know. And if you really loved it, send it to a friend who needs to hear this. And if you're interested in sponsoring a future episode, please send us an email at talktomesismail@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and love you, Mina.